Let's pray, and then we'll get into our message this morning. Dear God, I thank you for this time together. Just ask your blessing on each person here. Lord, we're grateful for just the holiday season. Thankful for Thanksgiving and just the reminder to be appreciative, to be people of thanks. Lord, I pray for just each person here as we head into Christmas time and coming up very soon. And Lord, I just pray for those for whom the holidays are challenging or difficult. Lord, I do lift up our community and the sad loss of several lives in a local hotel that we just saw in the newspaper, and just pray for resolution there and justice, and just pray for your spirit to comfort and encourage those who knew those folks. Lord, I do just thank you for all you do in our lives and all your many, many gifts. We know all good gifts come from you, and just pray that we would be people who share those gifts with others, that we are a channel of your generosity to those around us. And I just ask your blessing in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to begin with two stories that are pretty different. One is from an author, Susie Orman. She writes a lot of books about finances. And in one of her books, she talks about being 13 years old and being out in front of her family's restaurant. It was like a little chicken shack, and they sold chicken and hamburgers and hot dogs and all that sort of thing. And apparently the oil, the grease, caught fire. And so she's out in the front yard, and she sees her dad come running out of the chicken shack and flames just erupting all throughout that small building. And she was relieved, you know, no one else was in there, and that he was okay, that he wasn't hurt. And then she watched in absolute bewilderment as within just a few seconds, something hit him and he ran back into that flaming building. And then just shortly after, he came back out and he was holding this just searing hot metal money box that they had. And when he threw that on their front yard, right in front of that restaurant, she watched as the skin just came off his arms and his chest, and he was badly, badly wounded from that. And after she watched that, she said at 13 years of age, she said, I learned that money matters more than life itself. Now contrast that with a story from the Bible where there's a scene where Simon the leper, which means that he was a leper, and he was healed by Jesus Christ, and he invites other people to come to his house. And here he is sitting at this meal, a time of celebration, and you can kind of look over, and there's Lazarus who's been raised from the dead. So there's all kinds of celebration, all kinds of praise at this particular meal. And then a woman comes in, Mary comes in, and she has taken this incredibly expensive, probably about a year's wages of just this jar, this flask of perfume. And she broke it open and she very reverently anointed Jesus Christ. Now Judas, who liked to steal from the apostles' treasury bag, criticized her and said, hey, we could have given that to the poor. And Jesus stuck up for her and said, look, wherever the gospel is shared, her story's going to be shared as well. She did this for my death. She did this as a gift. And he commended her extravagant generosity. Now, a little known tidbit about that perfume is that some scholars believe that later it was used in the Farrah Fawcett shampoo. No, I'm kidding. Of course, they work for the National Enquirer, but anyway. But what a contrast. Money is the center of life, or Jesus is the center of life. I love the starting passage we're going to look at this morning, Proverbs 11:25, which simply says this: a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And I want us to think about generosity, because that's what marks that second story. And that's what can change our lives and change the lives of those around us. Jesus himself said in Acts 20, verse 35, the last part of that verse, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, as little kids, we don't believe that. Your kids don't believe that. But as you get older, when you're the parent and you're giving the gifts, I actually enjoy watching the kids open gifts more than me opening a gift. And generosity is something that should mark us. It should make a huge difference, and it should change us and probably challenge most of us as well. And I want you to think about extravagant generosity. God is certainly marked by that characteristic, and the question is, are we marked by it? We have seen God be so gracious and generous. And you know, it's interesting, whenever you talk about generosity, I've been in the ministry over 20 years, you know, some people get a little nervous. They get a little defensive because, he may talk about time, he may talk about my gifts or something, and I'm okay with that, but if he starts talking about money, that makes me nervous. And I want you to understand that this particular subject, I realize, is sensitive for some people, but I'm thrilled to talk about it. It really has been one of the great encouragements of my Christian life, and it's been one of the encouragements in the life of this church. When I look at kind of where we've been over the last years, and really about 6 years, we've been plugging away at raising the money and trying to get this building built, and the plan is, if you weren't here last week, I'll try to keep saying it because you got to catch everybody, but the hope is to move in Christmas Sunday. That's the plan. Probably the whole building will not be done. We'll probably just be in the sanctuary in the downstairs. And then we'll have a big grand opening, and we'll meet there consistently then. And then we'll have a big grand opening where the whole building, we hope, is done, and invite your friends and neighbors, coworkers, and that'll be in March. And someone may say, well, why the pressure to get in before the end of the year? And honestly, it has to do with a rather large, probably 50, maybe even higher, $50,000 property tax bill we will face if we're not in before the end of the year. And so we want to be in before the end of the year and not get the full hit in 2017. But as we have gone through this journey as a church, these various capital campaigns, it's been amazing what God has done. We've seen the piece of property that the asking price was $2.3 million, that we got it for $500,000. We see that our leadership decided that each capital campaign should start with an act of generosity, that we should act in faith. And so the first one we gave to a ministry that works in the Philippines, and it was a gift of maybe $4,000, something to that effect. And in the Philippines, in that particular area, they were able to build an entire building for that amount of money. I wish that were true here in America. And so really the first building Journey ever built was for another congregation, not ourselves. And then when we started the second capital campaign, the one that kind of wraps up here at the end of this year, we gave a $5,000 gift, I believe, to Camp Olaiwa and their building project, the new dining hall and retreat center. And we have tried to walk in generosity. We've tried to walk in faith in that way. And we have seen God bless us through the generosity of other people. We have literally seen volunteers give hundreds, if not thousands, of hours to our project, many of them coming and giving a full week or 10 days of their time off to fly up here on their own dime and work for us. It's been amazing. We had, I think it was 6 or 7 teams this summer, and that many as well last summer. We've seen 2 different times in these campaigns where an individual came and gave who doesn't attend our church regularly, doesn't live in this state, give $100,000 gifts. We've seen our people step up time and time again. Just had somebody pretty recently give about a $15,000 gift to help with the current property taxes. We see volunteers over there on Saturdays. We just had our chair story, and I love that story, to buy about 400 chairs to put in this building. And the chairs we're looking at were $50 to $75 a piece. You start doing the math, $400. You know, at $50, you're talking $20,000 just for the chairs, then another $10,000 at least to fly them up here, move them up here, ship them up here. And if you go with the more expensive chairs, it gets even higher, $30,000 just for the chairs. But a church sold us some chairs that were in great shape for like $5 a piece. And then one of our own, Greg, drove down and got those chairs and brought most of them up for minimal cost. And then a donor in Indiana said, you know what, I'll take care of that $5 a piece charge, and just gave a check for the whole thing. And so we have just seen the generosity of God again and again and again. And it's been amazing. It's been fun. And I love watching that. I just want you to understand that if you walk in generosity, whether we do it as a church, whether you do it as an individual, you will see that God is more generous than we could ever hope, and that he will do amazing things. And there's some stories that kind of stand out in my life. You know, I've seen lots of things. I've seen life change. I've seen physical healing over the years. I've seen incredible things that God has done. But like, if you look at my personal life, where are the God moments? And really, many of them, maybe even most of them, have been in the realm of finances. And it's been fun to watch. I love to tell people the story of our house and how God gave us that. I mean, literally, it was February and the leach field froze up and we got kicked out of the mobile home we were in. And we found a house that we liked. At the time, I was trying to work another job. These were the early days, the first 6 years of Journey. I worked another full-time job while working for the church as well. And thought I was going to get a job at the hospital, and that didn't come through. But we had, you know, we're kind of faith people. We had signed the paperwork anyway. And I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. And within, I think it was 24, 48 hours, two different things happened. A church down in Indianapolis, East 91st Street Christian Church, had heard about what had happened. We hadn't talked to them, but they had heard kind of through the grapevine. And they gave us $10,000 and said, use it to help you get into a house, you know, closing costs, deposit, whatever. And then this has never happened again in the history of the church in the 12 years we've existed. But within that same like 48-hour period, a check came from a donor who would give like $100 a month. And it was a $25,000 gift for pastor's housing. $35,000, 48 hours. That is stunning. And that's God showing off. And he does that kind of crazy stuff, not all the time, but sometimes. And he walks and he shares in generosity. And we're called to do the same. You know, we're in an interesting season right now. We highly value Christian education, and so our two oldest boys are both in Christian universities, which are a little pricey. Someday you may see me wearing a barrel. It could happen. We're just at the beginning of this. The 18-year-old, well, he just turned 19, excuse me, is just in his freshman year. And literally, I mean, this was not very long ago, maybe a month, and we're like, how are we going to pay this big bill? And my wife sat down and kind of mapped out what we needed and looked at all the things. And we had a big payment due to the California school, the college. And she said, we need $12,000. And I'm looking around. And I go, I don't have $12,000 hidden anywhere. And then I remembered that a few years before, I had done this mutual fund, and they would take a small amount out of our checking account every month. And I hadn't checked it in a while. And so I just called up. I didn't have, you know, the latest statement easily available. If you've seen my office, you know that's an understatement. And I call up and I said, hey, just send us what, you know, keep it open, because I like that, you know, just that little plugging away at it. But send us everything else. Just keep it open, but send us everything else. And I kid you not, like the day we needed it, because they pull it out of our checking account, they can plop it in, $12,000. God is a generous God. Now, obviously, there was, you know, I did something to make that happen, but that timing and all that, how that works, God is a generous God, and we are called to be like him. If we're part of his family, we are to exhibit his DNA. Many of you are parents and you have kids, and people come up and go, man, he looks like, you know, dad, or he looks like mom. And if we're part of the family of God, people should look at us, look at our character, look at our lifestyle and say, I see it. I see the generosity. You know, we see this in the early church. We see Barnabas who went and sold a field and brought the money to the church. It was an incredible act of generosity. We've seen that kind of thing in our capital campaign. We've had a person sell a vehicle and bring a large gift, and that's been amazing. And the reality is we are most like God when we give. We really are, because that is one of his defining attributes, is that he is a generous God. And yet, it's hard for us, I think. It's challenging. It requires some trust. I think kind of the ultimate example of this is found in the Old Testament, where Elijah the prophet comes to a woman and they're in the midst of terrible famine, and he comes to her and she's making their final meal for her and her son, and he has the audacity to say, well, how about you make me a meal? And she reacts to that, but she decides, you know what, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And she does that. And then God just takes care of her supplies. And her oil never runs out. Her bread doesn't run out. And they make it through this whole famine. She acted in faith. She acted in generosity, even when it was challenging. You see, as we sow, we will also reap. And it doesn't mean we're all going to become millionaires or billionaires or anything like that. But there is a reaping that happens in our lives. There's a reaping in getting to see lives changed. There's a reaping in building new relationships. And you get to see this when you sow. You get God moment stories. Galatians 6:7, the last part says, a man reaps what he sows. And so if you sow generosity, you'll reap generosity. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I think it's good to look at that verse, because the idea is not that I twist your arm and you'll be a better giver. It's really stepping back and going, look, I want to be intentional with my life. I want to look like my father. I want people to see that spiritual DNA. And I want to be a person of generosity. And it can be in something little, like being generous in how you tip waitresses and waiters. Or it can be in something big, like your commitment to the local church, or to sponsoring Compassion Children, or stepping alongside and being a partner to the rescue mission. And so we want to see that generosity in our lives. It can make a huge difference. Now, one of my favorites from Journey's Life Together is about an older man named Bernie. He's in a nursing home in Indiana. And we were facing kind of a challenge. We had, I think it was 4 to 6 weeks to raise about $185,000. And this was for the panels, which make up the shell of our building. And I mean, honestly, I don't think we were sitting on $185,000, most of us right there. But Bernie, you know, I write this little newsletter that mail out, and people who prayed for us for years. And Bernie mailed us 3 or 4 wadded up $1 bills. And here he is in the nursing home. He prays for us consistently, but he doesn't have any money. And he mails us these 3 or 4 wadded up dollar bills. And it just felt like that story in the scripture where the widow takes just her little bit, just her pennies, and throws it into the treasury of the temple. And we're shocked by this, but Jesus commends the widow. And Bernie did that. Somebody who'll never probably come and visit our church, be in our building because of his health. And then our people, I kind of held that up and said, hey, what can we do? And you all gave in 4 to 6 weeks that $185,000, $186,000. And it's just fun to watch. And I want you to get this. If you are not walking in generosity, you are missing out on some of the fun of the Christian life. It is fun to see God step up and to make a difference. and to show up when you're not sure how he's going to do it. And I think we all can start small. That's the beauty of kind of a percentage type giving. John D. Rockefeller, the one of the wealthiest men in U.S. history, he said it best. He said, "I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 per week." He said, "I started tithing back then, giving 10% off the top." And then as he became this massively wealthy person, he continued to be a person of generosity to the kingdom of God. And so I want to encourage you to be a person of intentionality in this. Now, I, like you, we get asked everywhere. You go to the grocery store and will you add a dollar for this? Or you go to the movies, will you add a dollar for that charity? I would encourage you, I actually just prayerfully sit down, what are we going to give to, and try to go deep, try to go big for that. And I say no to all that other stuff. Now, you don't have to do it the way I do it. That's just the way I do it. Some people like to give, I call that giving wide. You know, a dollar here, a dollar there. I like to go deep. I like to feel like I'm making a difference in a particular ministry, in a particular spot. Money reveals our heart. It truly does. If you could sit down with my checkbook, if I could sit down with your checkbook, we could not hide from each other what we value. Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also." And something that I ask myself occasionally is I try to visualize when I stand before God and he evaluates my life. You know, we get into heaven by grace. But there is this, they call it the Bema Seat of Christ, where Christ gives a summary. He looks at your life and he kind of gives you a job performance review. And some of you are bosses and you do this. Some of you work for others that give you these reviews. And I just have a hard time visualizing Jesus saying to me or saying to any of you, "I really wish you would have kept more for yourself." I just don't see it. I see us in prosperous America being challenged to be more generous. According to the book Radical by David Platt on page 194, he says, if we make, I find this amazing, if we make $10,000 a year, we are wealthier than 84% of the world. That's stunning to me. If we make more than $50,000 a year, we are wealthier than 99% of the world. Now, you have to factor in how many kids you have and all of that. But we are very, very blessed, generally speaking, as Americans. And I want to encourage you and challenge you to answer the call of generosity in your lives. Now, the results of generosity, I think, are amazing. I think that generosity changes us. I think that as a church, we have a generosity culture. I love that starting verse we read, Proverbs 11:25, "A generous person shall prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." And we've been refreshed by others. We've seen it over and over again. Other churches, other people have stepped up and helped us, and it's been amazing. I like the Old Testament passage, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, which says this, "Bring the whole tithe," and a tithe is just the top 10%. It's the first check or the automatic withdrawal in your checking account. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty." And I don't see in anywhere, any other place in Scripture where God says, "Test me in this." Only here, says the Lord Almighty, "and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." I would challenge you, if you're not at least a tither, which I view that as the training wheels on the bike of Christian giving, if you're not at least a tither, to try it for like 6 months and see if you don't see God's hand in your life and in your finances. I would just encourage you, do an experiment. Check and see what happens. It amazes me how God uses just seed, just little seeds of generosity, and how he blesses. Now, I didn't see them here this morning, but I think back, there's a family here at church, the Pruces, Jay and Gina Pruce. And sometimes Journey, a couple times a year, we'll take, say, pizzas. They're pretty inexpensive, and most people like pizza. And we'll take pizzas to other nonprofits and just buy them lunch. And usually there's not that big of a staff, and usually they appreciate it because most people who work for nonprofits aren't paid particularly well. And so we'll just, a couple times a year, we'll do this. So Big Brothers, Big Sisters, or the Women Domestic Violence Shelter, or Literacy Council, you know, nonprofits that we feel like are doing good in our community. And I've done this for years. Well, Gina Pruce worked at Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and we do this just to say thank you, just to encourage them. But she's like, well, I want to go try the pizza church, you know, brought us pizza for lunch. And so she and Jay came to this church. And then over a period of time, I had the honor of baptizing Jay into the faith. And he turned around and baptized his three kids. Gina's been a life coach with us and done individual spiritual plans with people. He's helped lead our capital campaigns and been one of our leaders here at Journey. And I look at that, and I look at the impact of that family, and I look at the seed, which is just a pizza, and I love it. And one of my favorite stories on Jay is my wife had her retina in one of her eyes partially detach, and I had worked all night. This was back when I was working the night shift. And so I'd worked all night, and the doctor, the eye doctor, said, you have to get her down to Anchorage. Nobody can do this surgery here, and she could lose her sight in that eye. And so this is kind of a crisis mode, but I had worked all night, and she couldn't fly because the pressure of air travel with the eye messed up wouldn't work, and so we had to drive her down there. And I was going to do it, you know, load up on the caffeine and drive down to Anchorage. And Jay said, no, I think you're going to kill your family. And he took his RV and he took our family and drove us down to Anchorage. And she had the surgery, and you had to wait a day or two and had to get checked and all this. And he literally drove us to Anchorage and spent, I think, like 4 days with us. And he doesn't talk to us much anymore. No, I'm kidding. But and I don't know what that cost him, you know, what he could have earned those 4 days. I know 4 days is a big gift. That's generosity in your time, your effort, your finances. And it made a huge impact on us and really helped us. All because of a pizza. See, just a little seed of generosity. It doesn't have to be big. Can make a huge difference in the lives of other people. Now, I think of John chapter 6, and in that particular story, Jesus feeds thousands of people. The scripture says there were 5,000 men. They didn't count the women, they didn't count the children, so there could have been 10,000, could have been 15,000 people. And Jesus says to his closest followers, so these people are hungry, and they're like, there's no way. It would take 8 months of wages to feed one meal. All these people, there's no way. And one of the apostles brought a boy who had, I guess, a lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus prayed over it. And Jesus blessed it. And it fed all those people. But that boy had to give up that lunch, right? That took trust. That took generosity. Hey, I'm prepared. These people aren't. And that generosity resulted in God doing an incredible miracle. He took something small and made it something big. And when I look at that, I think that's what it means when the scripture says that he's going to prosper us. That if we refresh others, we're going to be refreshed. We've been foster parents. And I chuckled because one time I sat down and figured out what we were paid as foster parents. And if you include, you know, the night shift, it was like $1 an hour to be foster parents. And if any of you have done it, it's a challenging role. But like this weekend, one of our former foster sons is hanging out with us and we still have a relationship with him. And he's doing great with his dad and things are going well. And we just you know, we got to refresh, but we, in essence, it feels like picked up another son. Generosity is powerful, and it's in your spiritual DNA if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to close with this. The first giver, the greatest giver, was God himself. And the great description at the very heart of our faith is John 3:16. You may know it by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Notice he gave. Didn't pry it out of him. There was nothing we could do. God, out of his generosity, gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Generosity. We serve, we love, we follow a generous God. He is our generous, gracious Father. And we as his children can look like him if we will walk in generosity. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for the fact that you are so kind to us, that you amaze us, surprise us, that sometimes you show off. Lord, I'm just amazed at what you do. Lord, sometimes we are filled with worry and anxiety. Lord, help us to remember we are your children and that you take care of your children. And just as our little kids don't sit around the breakfast table worried about the mortgage, we can trust in you as our provider, as our generous, gracious Father. Lord, I pray that we look like you, that people watch our lives and they see you in us. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.